This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we were talking about the feel-good film. The absolute feel-good film of the year. The Menu.
Yeah.
The Menu. This was requested, correct? This was,
many times people yes. like do the menu. So this is
do
this came out
menu.
Late last year or early this year. I forget. It's new though. It's
yes,
a new
it's
movie.
Super new. What? So obviously, I don't. Had you already watched it?
I had.
Oh shit! Okay,
yeah,
this was my first watch.
Yeah.
This was my very first watch.
I watched this for pleasure once and then watched it for the podcast. So
yeah. Are you saying our podcast is not pleasure, Craig? How fucking dare
I'm
you?
Critical of the more critical.
Yeah,
of things.
That's fair. I really like this movie.
I really liked it too.
I thought it was great.
And at first I was like, I watched it the first time as recreation, and that light goes off in your head. I was like, could we do this for the podcast? And I was like, I'm not really sure. And then we got so many requests for it.
Because you guys are evil.
Yeah. And then I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, yes, actually, I do want, like, even if I can't sit here and defend these things, I desperately want to know what Rebecca's take is on because I'm like, service industry, rich fucks, like, so many things are in our own, our wheelhouse here on this one. I was like, this will be a fun one, I think.
This will be a fun one. So many people die. So if you guys haven't seen The Menu before, if you like thriller, horror, like anything that feels suspenseful, like go watch this movie. It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
I think all the cast is great. There's some just tremendous performances in this. But essentially, it is about a group of the ultra rich people, just ultra, ultra rich people. It's this restaurant seats 12. They have to go on a boat to go get this ferry, and they're dropped off on an island. The boat leaves so they can enjoy this very particular, very pretentious, very over the top menu from this particular chef. They show up, vibes are off. Okay, vibes are off. And our main character, Anna Taylor.
Margo, sorry. Anna Taylor-Joy, yeah.
Margo is, she wasn't supposed to be there. She was a last minute switch out, right? So she's not really a part of these rich bitches, but she is in a sense, okay? This chef is kind of freaking a lot of people out. He's very stern. He's very serious. He talks about his food in a horrifying manner, I would say, maybe. Maro does not like this man right from the hop. She was like, we're paying for this experience. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to eat this. We can send things back. And the man she's with, who is the most insufferable person.
Tyler, yeah.
Tyler, I would argue, the most insufferable person in this fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, straight up. They did such a good job of making him every fucking asshole I've ever met. Holy shit. I was jumping for this man. I was like, I don't, because like the tone switches partway through this movie and you start realizing they're all gonna die. And I'm like, I can't wait for that motherfucker to die. I was like, yes, I hope he dies.
There is a moment in this that is a switch.
And the moment is one of his sous chef comes out. I think that's the big switch in my opinion.
Yes.
That is. Yeah, I was that would be the big switch in my opinion.
The mess.
Okay. So every dish is labeled. It's like first course, second course. This course in particular is entitled The Mess. It is his sous chef. He brings him out into the middle of the room with a tarp. Okay, put down, and there's they've got leaves everywhere. This guy's setting it up, and then he just kind of starts getting into this like mental, this weird mental back and forth with this guy of like, you can never be me. You'll try your whole life. You'll never be as talented as I am. Does that upset you? Yes, chef. Do you want to be like? Do you want my life though? And he goes, no, chef. And then he kills himself.
Yeah, pulls out a pistol and
kills himself, and. So we have a few characters that believe that this is theater and performance, as one would do in shock. That makes a lot of sense, honestly. And then there's some people that are like, we need to get the fuck out of here. And then one of our rich bitches gets his finger cut off when he's trying to leave. And then that's kind of when more people start realizing it's serious. He drowns the man that owns the restaurant in front of all of them. And he announces it. You're like, you're all going to die tonight. We're all gonna die tonight, okay? Because that's the menu, that's what's on the menu. That's the closer. That's the finisher. We're all gonna die tonight, and I'm not gonna get into every single detail of this movie, but basically, Margot, in a genius way, says, "I don't think you're cooking well. I want a cheeseburger. Can I get it to go?"
Because she sees a picture of him, and it's the only picture where he's smiling. Is he's like a kid making cheeseburgers.
She taps into his humanity in that moment of like, listen, like you're supposed to make things that people want to eat, like that people enjoy. Like, I haven't enjoyed any of this. This is not food to me.
You're not cooking with love. You're cooking with obsession.
Yeah, you're cooking with obsession, this sort of thing. And then he lets her go and then blows up the whole fucking building.
Yeah, they s'more him. They wrap everyone in chocolate and marshmallows.
The chocolate and marshmallows.
Set the whole place on fire. Yeah.
Very theatrical, very dramatic. I honestly fucking loved this movie. Yeah. I thought it was really great. I fucking hate rich people, so.
Exactly, right? And that's the other thing that makes this movie interesting to talk about is because there are all these sort of what I would call groups of people, mm-hmm. right? And the way that the movie presents it is all that these are all villains in some way. And
yes.
And they all kind of deserve this according to the chef. And I mm-hmm. think that's what we're going to have to get into for this podcast is what is the degree of villainy of all these people, you know? And we'll get into that in a second. But first, we want to thank the sponsor of today's episode, TeePublic, teepublic.com. Guys, do you like T-shirts? Do you like amazing patterns by independent artists celebrating whatever sort of fandom or niche thing you're into?
Yeah.
Then boy, do we have a website for you.
Pick two words. Put them, you know what I mean? Dungeons and Dragons and Dinosaurs, and you will find it. You will find dinosaurs playing Dungeons and Dragons, rolling dice.
Yes.
You're going to find the thing, okay? Just get real creative. You will find somebody that made the thing that you want to find and then buy it.
Yeah, and you can also get these designs. These are the cool designs, and you can get them on pretty much anything. Mugs, T-shirts, baseball tees, hoodies, baby onesies even. If you want to throw a Villain Was Right logo on your little newborn baby with their onesies, head on over to our TeePublic store, get that onesie, and by all means, send us a picture of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, send us a pic of that. We need to see a pic of that. Guys, you can customize the size, color, fabric of any piece of clothing you want, and it's all indie artists, so anytime you buy something from TeePublic, you are supporting indie artists. So head on over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all of our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com, and thank you once again, TeePublic, for your support. You're our number one.
So, our villains in this.
I'm looking over at Craig. He's got 1,000 yards going a little bit.
So our villains.
Okay.
So I think the obvious one is the chef. So chef,
yes, of course.
Chef Slowick, played by Ralph Fiennes. He's sort of the mastermind behind all this. He's the guy that the sous chefs are all following. They're all going to die for him, right? And he's the one who has made the menu and he's decided these are the people that are being invited and these are the people that I'm going to kill as a statement.
Which I really, really love in just in the sense of making the back of a restaurant feel like cult energy.
Yeah.
It takes about one, all you have to do is dial that up 1 degree. You know what I mean? Because like, it's true. Like when you're in one of these environments, everything is yes, chef, no chef. Like it's all this, like they're not doing it up just because if you have the title of chef, that is the way you are spoken to.
Yes,
you
chef,
are,
no chef.
You must be meticulous. You must, you know what I mean? It's all very, it's very, very serious and does kind of feel culty.
Yeah. And the fact that they sleep on the island, they
never
go home.
Oh, that's so creepy. Like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah, but just the Elsa as well is the, I don't know what her position is. I guess she's like sort of front of house is like what you would call that. She's the like...
Yeah,
the,
like a, yeah.
She, the customer service, basically. She, as she says, I deal with the customer so the chef doesn't have to.
She, when she is, that's a tortilla. That is
what is this? Yeah, it's a tortilla.
It's a tortilla.
No, what is on here? A tortilla. Just love
her. And then
her.
She just starts describing exactly what's on it, and yeah. I'm like, oh, she honestly, I think she might have had my favorite performance in the whole movie.
Yeah,
she was 10 out of 10 the whole fucking time.
Love it. Like just from the get, where she's like, what's your name? And she goes, oh, there's like you can see in her eyes there's a problem. This isn't so Margot's not supposed to be there. So the thing that we missed, the big twist is that Tyler, the guy who brought her, knew that they were all going to die.
Yeah.
And didn't bring his original date, but hired her as an escort. That's kind of another reveal is she is an escort and she knows the married man who gets his finger chopped off.
Yes.
There's another thing of there where that like the chef figures it out and he goes, where should we seat you? Are we serving you with those who take or those who serve or give or take or those who serve or those who things? And you're like, oh, that's an interesting thing. But he like pegs her right away that she's not who she says she is and whether or not she belongs. She's like, you don't belong here tonight.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
that makes
this.
Total sense to me. There's I've even gone on dates before where I've been in a restaurant and I'm like, oh, I'm not. This isn't for me. No. Yeah. Like I feel like I'm like, do you know when you're just too aware of your own body?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm like how do my arms work?
Most fancy places, that's how I feel. I'm like, oh, you're gonna ask me to leave right now. Like I'm an imposter. Like even we went to the Comedy Bar Christmas party, couple months ago now, and like we all got dressed up, you know, there's a good picture of you and me there. Ooh. And like and the whole time I was there I was just like, oh, we're all pretending, none of us are this fancy, you know what I mean?
Oh bitch, I wasn't pretending. I'm
yeah,
fancy.
Yeah, all right, you're fancy. Bitch, I'm fancy.
Bitch,
has
I'm
a
fancy.
Certain self-reporting energy to it.
It does. It's
yeah,
like
no, but like I guess I'll speak for myself. I felt like I'm an imposter, like I'm gonna show up here and people will know that I'm just like this is me playing dress up.
That's so funny.
Like, you know that Craig doesn't really dress up like this. He doesn't really wear a tie. He's just playing dress up in like his father. Anyway, so I definitely know
you're just
that
walking
feeling.
Around holding a brick going business.
Yeah. That's me.
Is it a business?
Tyler's obviously a villain in this.
And honestly, my number one villain.
Yeah?
Quite frankly.
Let's get into it.
Holy fuck. Every single fucking thing this guy said, when I found out that this woman, or like Mara's like an escort, I'm like, that's the only way this makes sense. That's the only way this makes sense. Because the idea that anybody could hang out with this man for more than one fucking hour and still be like, yeah, I'm going to get dicked down by that is absolutely impossible to me.
Yeah.
Calls her a child. He swats her hand. He snaps at her. It's just like every little thing. Like, you do what I say because I'm paying.
Yeah.
Oh, bitch. Bitch. I was like literally... I know we're watching a movie where people literally get murdered. Okay, but there is something where you go into like when you watch movies like, or when I watch movies like this, like I know there's gonna be murder, you know what I mean? Like I know that. But then when you brush up against a character that I was like, I've fucking met you, I've met your ass. Like I've had people say things to me that maybe you have said, you know what I mean? Just like these little fucking cutting things that make me so fucking mad, and I can't stand it.
Yes.
And so the entire time, I love
Nicholas Holt, by the way, plays a great smarmy asshole.
Oh,
he's fantastic in this role.
Knocks it out of the park, man. Cause like I love him as an actor.
Yeah.
I think he's like, oh, this guy's like super hot. Like I have like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I dry this whole movie. Fucking bone dry. I gotta tell you. This guy nailed this. I hated this guy.
Yeah. So I would agree. So one, I'm not gonna say that he's not an asshole throughout the entire thing. He is. Mm. But what I will say is, up until the turn, up until the mess, I did dislike Margot quite a bit.
Oh, I didn't for even 1 second.
Really?
Not for because, one fucking second. Tell me why you don't like her. I want to.
Okay,
wanna
yeah, absolutely. Because like the first time I watched it, I felt this way. And the second time I watched it, I felt the exact same way up until the same point in the movie. So this isn't just a fluke, which is that... she's going to a very fancy restaurant, mm-hmm. right? Like, as the chef even says himself, it's like most people would consider it a privilege to dine here even once.
Yes.
Right? And you're being brought on this experience. Mm-hmm. And she sort of refuses to participate from the get, which really bothered me. And I know that there's a way to watch this where you go like, she knows right away that that the chef is an asshole. Mm-hmm. She knows right away that this is all pretentious bullshit.
Yeah.
But like, I guess I have this thing where I'm just like, but if someone's bringing you to somewhere where it's like a unique experience, and good chefs are really good. Mm-hmm. Like they're not just like, oh, we're gonna make you charge you $1,000 for a grocery store cinnamon roll, right? They go, this is art. This is work. This takes a lot of energy.
Yep.
So like when he does the breadless platter, for example, mm-hmm. and he's like, here's all the savory dips, but without the bread. She goes, this is pretentious. This is stupid. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to eat this.
Yeah.
And wants to send it back. And I was just like, it just bothered me so much. Cause I'm just like, just try it. You know, like, why are you here? If not to just like go along with the experience. So she resists that right from the get-go. And I found that very off-putting. Up until the turn, and then you're like, oh, she was right the whole time.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's intentional or what, but I was just like, and then from that point on, I'm with her, you know?
So for me, I couldn't, in my opinion, and I think it's just because I've had experiences kind of like, not like this, obviously, but just like in the sense of
I'm
like.
I'm the sole survivor of a restaurant where everyone has made a s'more. This is a deeply personal movie.
Yeah,
we
we have a group.
We have a group. There's three of us, which is a lot when you think about it.
It is. No, but this concept of I'm paying you, but I have to do the thing. Like it's like I've gone to like there was this guy that I used to train with every once in a while at this boxing gym I would go to.
Sure.
Okay, and it's in my opinion, and I fucking hated taking his classes, and the only time I would take his classes would be accidentally. Like, it's like I would show up and he'd be taking over for another trainer. And I'd be like, fuck. Okay. And I get so fucking mad because I knew in my fucking bones the second I met this guy, I was like, this guy's slime and I can fucking feel it. And he was too masculine and he was too aggressive and he was too much like, we're all in the military right now. And if one of you slips on a wall squat, we all got to do it again.
Right.
And I'm like, I've paid you for this class. No. You're
I'm
not
gonna
the
get,
boss of
I'm
me.
Gonna get what I need to
yes.
get out of this.
Yeah. If I slip on a wall sit, like you or like a wall squat, like no. Like we shouldn't be punished. We're all adults here. We decide what we want to do because we have paid for this experience. Okay. You're not like we're not a team or anything like that. We have paid for this experience.
Sure.
Okay. And then one time he did it so much like and was like so like and I just started buckling under the pressure because I was like, fuck it. Like this guy's not going to let us leave or whatever. Like, he's just so weird, which is so psychotic because, of course, you have to let us leave. This is a class. OK, but he had us on wall squat or like a wall squat so long that I couldn't properly sit for 5 days afterwards.
Right.
I had to like get I had to get people to help me to get up and down. OK, if I'm paying for something, fuck you. I do what I want. Okay, and if I don't want to fucking eat this, I'm not gonna fucking eat this. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, but like that's.
And I don't think that's pretend or mean or like whatever. I think that's just not giving into some sort of societal peer pressure.
But I'm just saying that there's a spirit of I want to try this, right? Like, to me, mm-hmm. if you put a dish in front of me at a restaurant and it was weird or whatever, and you didn't want to try it, that's fine. But like, she comes in with just like, this is stupid. She comes in with an attitude where she has to be, it's explained to her why food is important to people. Like, that has never occurred to her before. And I was just like, that to me is unbelievable in a certain sense, because I'm just like, everyone knows that food is good.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's just not true. The amount of people I talk to that don't give a fuck about food, that think about it as fuel and energy, and that is it. I get the same enjoyment out of eating that as I get out of eating that. I am totally different from these people, but they absolutely exist.
Yeah. I guess to add on to it, from the perspective that they are a dating couple, which we think they are at that point.
Yep.
And that he is bringing her here to do something that's important for him.
Yep.
And she just kind of resists and be like, this is stupid. I was like, come on, come along. Nah. But again, all this changes at the
I don't even
the
think
mess.
It just never changed for me.
Fair enough.
It never changed. I was fair like, this, she, you're right.
I know my opinion is unpopular, by the way.
This guy is acting like a pretentious douche.
And he is.
And you're, as a paying customer, allowed to do whatever the fuck you want.
True.
Okay, if she is not allowed to send food back, then you're not allowed to take a motherfucking photo. Okay, because the rules are the rules.
Oh, when that tortilla comes back and it's a picture of him taking a picture of the food, whoo! I also wonder what would have happened if he hadn't done that. Like, what was their alternate? You know, but yeah, no, he's an asshole, and he sort of represents something in here which is very interesting, because once everything's gone down, there's the whole reveal that he knew that everyone was going to die tonight.
And he brought her there to die.
He brought her there to die. That's inexcusable. But then the chef has him cook something because he's this like fanboy.
Yeah.
And the chef tells him like it's shit. Like he even
says. It is shit. As he's made
shallots. It's like, one, I would say, who could perform under that pressure? I couldn't. Two, it was very funny when he's like, oh, he's sauteing, like, what was it, shallots and leeks?
Yeah.
We're watching a revolution in culinary. Like, I was just like, I love that sarcasm.
Yeah.
But, and then the chef says, what does he say? You're the reason why mystery has been drained from all art. And because this is also a commentary on all art, like, mm-hmm. like cooking and everything like that. And I was just like, I don't know. Him being an asshole aside, I'm not sure that I'm not sure that's deserving of punishment so much as the chef thinks it is. What are your thoughts on that?
So, okay. So first of all, my thoughts are that guy knew what he was coming in for. So it's not even really a punishment at that
okay,
point.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, if you're like, listen, do you want to go and stand in the corner for 10 minutes? And that person goes, yeah, then true. Okay, like that's not, at that point, that's not a punishment. That was like, I asked you if you wanted to do that and you said, yeah. Okay, so this is actually the only guy in the whole room that I think wholly deserves to die. He knows what he's going in for.
Sure.
He literally knows that, okay?
Because the chef has a reason, though, that guy has been informed and brought there.
Well,
like, that's part of the
plan. I think his reason is that he's been harassing him, and he knows the drill. He's
right.
Like, yeah, if you want to, like, you're so obsessed with this, then come in and see who you really are, right? But to me, this was the equivalent of every fucking man I've ever talked to says, oh, yeah, I think I'd be a great comic, actually.
Right.
I'd be a great comedian. Fuck you, dude. Fuck you think because you told a couple of knee slappers with the boys that you're fucking ready for prime time?
Yep.
I think not. Okay, so there was something a little satisfying in that for me, because every time one of these motherfuckers says that to me, you know what I do now? I go, oh, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I'm like a computer programmer. I'm like, oh man, I've always wanted to get into that. I actually think I'd be fucking incredible. I flip it every time. It doesn't matter what job they say, I flip it. And then if they're smart, they figure out what I'm doing and they go, oh, I'm sorry. Or if they're dumb, I just keep going. And it's a lot of fun for me.
Woo. And if they're dumb, you do a podcast with them for 4 years. I'm just waiting for Craig to get it. I don't know. Because that to me is always this very interesting line between being very interested in the particulars and the technique behind an art mm-hmm. that you enjoy. And then I guess, where does that cross over to you thinking that you can also do it? And I think cooking is also a very strange one for this, because you can do it to a certain extent. Not at the chef level, but everyone can practice a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Like, everybody can tell a joke. It's not the same thing.
True.
Need like you. I was talking to somebody about this. I couldn't believe it. I was talking to this one man, and he was absolutely convinced that no matter what, he was like, "Oh, I could totally become a chef if I wanted to."
Right.
And I was like, "Are you out of your fucking mind, dude?" And he's like, "No. It's just like anybody can cook." And I was like, yeah, anybody can cook. Not everybody can be a chef, dude.
Yes.
Like, you need like training, palate. Like, you need a proper palate for this. You need vision. You need to know, like after like experience or even passion for it, what flavors go together, what plating look like visually,
sure.
Like what plating looks nice. All this kind of shit, right?
So to you, where it crosses the line is not. I'm interested in the technique. I like learning knife skills, but I'm never going to be a chef.
No, yeah.
Or I want to learn how to cook this.
Mm-hmm.
But to you, where it draws the line, where Tyler says, I could be a chef if I wanted to,
yes.
Because I'm this fanboy of
yes,
things.
Yes, exactly.
So you can be into the technique. You can be like,
oh, yeah.
Because like to be like,
that's what I
to
do.
Sit down at a good meal and be like, oh, they did this and this and this, mm-hmm. They use this technique. I think only heightens it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
Because I'm just like, that's a weird one. And then he hangs himself because he fucks up lamb. Which was also just like, oh yeah, that's the ending for that character. Like the chef just whispers in his ear, like, you're nothing. Go.
Also, what an insane protein to call up. Lamb's like one of the harder ones to cook, bro. I don't know why you went there.
Because he wanted to impress, right?
But you don't start with leek and shallot, I'll tell you that. Anyway. Fucking blown away.
Nice. Then there are the tech bros, too. I want to jump over to the tech bros quite a bit. And the line from Elsa, where she leans over and says...
That's my favorite. I love this.
What does she say? She says, you will eat more... Sorry, I've got to look this up.
You will eat more than you deserve and less than you desire, I think
that's what it is. Yeah.
I don't know if that's
less than you desire and more than
there.
You deserve. Yeah,
there
yeah,
you
sorry.
Go. Okay.
I found it in my notes there. Yeah, what an epic line, right?
Woo! I really love that. I loved it. Obviously, I'm not here to be like, yeah, murder all those bitches. Like, that's not... I don't think that's a good resolution to any of this. Although I would say, if you were gonna murder some people,
maybe the tech bros who asked for that.
Like, if you had to, if you had to.
And I also want to just say that not going along with the experience is the same thing with these guys with the bread. Just so I'm casting everything fine, where they're just like, come on, let's have some bread. Do you know who we are? Just give us the bread. And I was just like, just go along with it. Just, you know. They made these dips.
Saying I don't want to and you do you know who I am are two different things.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right? That's
yes.
That is that. Oh, texturally, that's different.
That is my social fantasy, which is for somebody to say, do you know who I am? And for me to be like, yeah, that doesn't matter.
I love that.
And I'm not going to treat you any differently. Like
I thought you were going to say no, and then no, but yes, and it doesn't matter. It's so much of a
right?
better burn. You're right.
Like, just it doesn't matter. I won't change my mind based on who you are. There's nothing worse than the do you know who I am line. Oh.
I also just say, like, these people are paying, $12.50 a head.
Yes.
That is, in my opinion, such a fuck you to society, man. It makes me want to peel all my own fucking skin off.
Yeah.
Do you know, if you are spending that on a meal, like, that amount of money would actually, like, affect some people big time.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
We all get sad. You're, like, looking at me sad. You're like, yeah, I know what you mean. No, dude, like, how, at what point would you not consider that evil, in my opinion, right?
Again, so here's the thing. Are things overpriced? Are these people assholes? Like, especially the couple who's been here, like, 10 or 12 times.
Yeah.
He says 11, actually.
Yes.
So, I would tend to agree with you that, like, okay, like, a really expensive meal is, like, this is obscene, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been to, not this fancy, obviously, but it's, like, a good restaurant where they, like, it's a proper chef.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking care of you.
Yeah.
The wait staff is, like, attentive. They explain things to you. You know, they're, like... They're checking in on you and they genuinely... And if you have that meal, like, once every 2 years, where that's the treat, or do you really?
Yes,
you know what I mean? So, but then the question is, where's that price point where it crosses into immoral?
I think once you get to the average salary of anyone employed underneath you.
Fair enough.
Once you have spent that on caviar, you're done.
You're done.
Like,
yeah,
you're fucking done.
Yeah.
Okay, you built your empire off of the backs of people you did not pay enough.
Yeah.
And fuck you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, they don't really get into it that much, but you pull back and it's like, you don't know how many people died at the hands of these people, in a sense.
Okay. Sure.
No, am I wrong? I don't know. Maybe I'm making a leap here, but every time I see, like, ultra rich people, I'm like, whose healthcare did you deny? Who's fucking, you know what I mean? Who's paid, like, who did you fire because you were like, oh, I need the yacht?
Or we need to make the return for our investors.
Yeah,
this year.
Our investors need this thing or whatever. How much money did you take away from, like, you know, health service, anything? Like,
sure. What corner did you cut to get yours?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're cutting into somebody else's corner. There's no question.
Yeah.
There's no question that you're not cutting into somebody else's fucking piece, especially in America.
Yeah.
Which
I believe
is where this takes place.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Yeah, it's for sure American. You're right. And, like, there's the rich fucks.
rich fucks.
And which kind of leads well into rich fuck critics. The critics.
Okay. So this one it's literally her job.
Yeah.
And this is kind of
she's
like, I get that
she's
a fucking asshole. No questions. There's no question she's a fucking asshole.
And the other guy's like a sycophant.
No. He's gross too. He's gross too, for sure. Okay. Like, I wasn't like vibing for these people. But to say that was one of those people where I was like, because like the tech bros and like Tyler, I'm like, throw Tyler in the ocean. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is kind of like things that are wrong with society. Tech bros, right? The finance bros.
Yes, they represent something else. Whereas this is kind of, well, I guess in a sense, it's like, well, you're stifling creativity in a sense, and you're putting people out of business.
The tortillas she got were the pictures of all the restaurants she reviewed and put out of business.
Now, to say, first of all, if you are able to put people out of business, you're probably fucking great at your job. Sorry about it. Like, these are just like, your
margins are thin in restaurants, for sure.
And your opinion apparently really, really fucking matters, okay? But does that mean that you walk into every place and go, well, this is okay? Well, then you lose your fucking job. It's done.
Yeah.
Okay, your job is actually to be pretentious, unfortunately. Okay, and I just think that was one where I was like, I don't like her, but I don't get this, like,
ruined art by criticizing art.
And it's also like his staff, where I was kind of like, why is the whole staff going, man?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's a cult, right?
It is very much a cult. Yes.
And that's sort of the part of the movie that you haven't seen, where it's like everybody's on board because this guy's so brilliant and they believe everything that he does and all the rest.
But I do really like that in a restaurant setting, because I have been in restaurants before where it kind of feels like that.
Like tense, and it's
like there's a vibe, like the amount.
Yeah, chef. Yeah.
Yeah, chef. Or like the chef, like, because the chef thinks they're the, you know, because it's like they even talk about it. It's like the chef's the star.
Yes.
The chef's the star. So, like, the amount of times I've had, like, a shoe thrown at me would be fucking astronomical. You know what I mean? Because it's just, like, the chef's losing it again because one of his potato dishes wasn't served quite as hot as it needed to be, or whatever the fuck that, you know what I mean?
Have you worked in places with formal chefs?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay.
I used to work at a place where I would have to debone fish at the table. So, yes, they would either, like, it would just be, like, a salt bay, or, like, it was prepared in many different ways, depending on the fish or whatever, and dependent on the fish and the presentation, I would then bring it to the table, present the fish to these fucking ultra-rich fucks, and then I would debone it at the table for them, serve them portions of it, and then leave it at the table, and then if I twisted my wrist the wrong way when I was pouring their wine, they'd be fucking pissed.
Right.
Fucking hated working there. God damn it.
Yeah. And like, that's when
so glad that restaurant closed down. Fuck you. Fuck the owner of that place. I hated him. Sorry. I'm really
sorry. Well, and that goes into it. It's like, and this sort of goes into that couple who's just totally unappreciative of the 11 times that they've been there, unable to name a single dish.
It was halibut.
Like if you, it's like if you were there and you were like, oh my God, what a treat. This is the greatest meal of all time. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for deboning our fish at the table. This is wild. What a great experience. Like that's a different customer than like, as you said, you turn the wrist the wrong way and it's like it's an offense. Like, I love the line of like manners are how you show other people that you care about, or you care about them. But like when it goes the other way and you go, we don't have to care about that person because they didn't show us the right manners, is like, that's where it flips on its head.
Yeah.
Right? Like we require you to hit all of these very specific things. Otherwise it's ruined for us. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want someone coming to the table scratching their ass or whatever. Like, that's, you know what I mean? But like,
speak for yourself.
But no. I've been to a restaurant before where they like come and they like sweep the crumbs off the table if you like drop crumbs from your bread. And I was like, well, this is unnecessary. This is a novel experience for me, but this is absolutely not required.
Yeah.
And if you got mad, if someone got mad because the crumbs didn't disappear from their table, though, you're like, what kind of person are you?
Yeah, fuck you, dude. I even like when there's like this very, very quick moment where I can't remember her name, the actor's...
Oh, yes, the actor. So there's the movie star, who we haven't really talked about, movie star, and Felicity, I believe, is her name. Yeah.
Felicity, okay. Where...
John Leguizamo.
Where the chef... Yeah, you are. Chef asks... I'm just going to call him Chef, like I'm a fucking sous chef.
Yeah.
Anyway, where Chef asks... asks her, she's like, she kind of like protests, like what am I doing? You know what I mean? I should be here.
I'm just this guy's
and he's
assistant.
Like, what school did you go to? She was like, Brown. He's like, you have student loans? She's like, no. And he goes, sir, you're dying. Yeah. I was screaming in my house. I was like, that's so fucking funny, man.
Oh, yeah. But that couple is actually the one that I think deserves to be there the least. Because here's the thing. So
his reasoning for having them there is so
it's
fucking
so,
funny.
It's so funny. It works in the movie. But I mean, this also proves that the chef is absolutely not right.
Oh, no, he isn't right. But this movie is very satisfying to
exactly.
watch.
So the movie star is how he's credited in this. I don't think we actually ever know his name, but it's John Leguizamo, possibly kind of playing himself. I don't know. But he's like an asshole, right? Like he's bragging about how he knows the chef personally.
Yeah, his title is literally movie star.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's supposed to be someone like, you know, it's sort of supposed to be ambiguous as to why who he is. But he's basically just having an argument where his assistant Felicity is trying to leave. It's also revealed throughout this that she's been embezzling money from him, and he knew, and he gave her a battery. So that's like not a great relationship. But they're out for dinner at this very toxic place. He's pitching things. So he does some asshole things. But the reason that the chef has to dislike him was that the chef, who gets like 1 week, 1 day off like every couple months, on his day off went to go see a movie that this guy was in called Hello, Dr. Sunshine or something like that. And he didn't like it. Okay, and he was like, you wasted my time.
Yeah.
And it's like the 1 day I had off. And the movie star even says, it's like, well, it's not like I wrote it or directed it. I started it and it was a shitty movie. And he goes, yeah, but you wasted my precious day off. And I am just like, he says, you are what the chef says to him, you are what happens when an artist loses his purpose. Mm. And I've just got to say, that is so absolutely hypocritical of him, where he's like, hey, you critic at this table, you food critic, you deserve to die because you ruin people's lives by being critical of the art that they try and do to make a living. And then the same side, he turns to the movie star and goes, you did an art I didn't like, therefore you deserve to die. Like, and if anybody should understand how artistic pursuits are not necessarily a singular vision, right? It should be a chef with a kitchen full of cooks being like, a dish doesn't come together because one person, one person can fuck up and it can fuck up the best efforts of everyone else. And it bothers me so much.
Fucking hell, man. I didn't even make that connection and you're totally right. Wow.
Right?
Fuck.
So he's like a hypocrite, which, you know what I'm saying? We'll put up with a lot of things on this podcast. Never a hypocrite.
Never. No, I think this is one of these movies where it's like, obviously the villain's not right, but it is wholly fun to watch.
And wholly full of villains.
Yes, 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 yes. Like, everybody, literally everybody is a villain in this movie, because it's like, we, a cult, are bringing you here to die, and you, the ultra-rich, are, well, just by definition, the ultra-rich.
You deserve it, yeah.
Yeah, and this, yeah.
And he also has, the chef also has this great line, where it's like, I allowed myself to reach a price point where, like, only the insanely rich can afford this. And he says, I fooled myself into trying to satisfy people who can never be satisfied. And I was just like, that's a good line, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good line.
But you also, I believe, have a lot more agency over your own life than just like, oh, I price pointed myself up to this.
I can see how it could happen. You know, like you get some heat on you, you know, some good press and the investors come in and you do this and you do want to try new things and you do want to progress. And unfortunately, like, I think, you know, to have an entire island ecosystem that you can pull from and and do what he wants to do, it does become quite pricey, right? So, like, I can see yourself tricking yourself into getting to that level and not realizing all the steps along the way that you're taking, especially when someone else is willing to keep paying your bills.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean? And you go, okay, I guess we're at $1,500 a plate or whatever it is for this dinner.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I just can never, every time I think about either eating like that or cooking like that, it just stresses me out.
Yeah.
It just feels too, like, sterile. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels too...
It's the line, they're cooking with obsession, not with love.
Yeah, it's like robotic. It's like, it's not...
Food is imprecise in my mind.
Yes. My favorite food is, like, rustic. Or I always just call it rustic when I, like, lob things in together. It's fucking rustic. Look at it. Look at those hunks of potato.
Some peas in your Kraft dinner. Ooh la la.
Ooh,
yeah.
We're getting rustic up in here. But yeah, man. Like, I really like, and I'm one of these people, like, I would say I would be closer to Tyler than anybody else as far as food goes. Because, like, I really like I'll buy the thing. Like, not all the fancy gadgets, but I'll buy some. You know what I mean? I've got, like, a really nice mixer. I have a pasta maker. I have these things. But, like, I just like to do them. And I don't go to the next, like, whoever, you're a chef. And I'm like, well, I do this. And, like, you know, it's got to be comparable. And it's like, no, that's not the thing. I make it because I have fun doing it.
Yes.
Not because I'm like, oh, I'm a fine dining chef.
Yeah. I think your point is perfectly distilled. And I watch a food YouTube channel. And the guy, Adam Ragusea, if you know him, I don't know, check out the channel. It's fun. It's like kind of science and food and like what it is.
I like the stuff that pairs science with food, because then if I want to alter a recipe, I know what I'm doing. What I do will cause this. And
you know, he does a whole episode on like the chemistry of pickling and what's actually going on there.
Really,
you know,
cool.
But
I love that.
He had one and he's like, the knife skills that you really need to learn. He's like, you don't need really good knife skills. What you need knife skills if you're a chef or you're a line cook. And you got to fucking process six onions in 30 seconds. But he's like, you know what you need to do as a home chef who's cooking for your family and cooking for fun? You need to be careful. He's like, this isn't how a chef would cut this. But I can do this because I can be careful and I can be slow and I can take my time.
Yeah.
And then it's perfectly safe and fine. And you don't have to have these great knife skills or whatever.
No, just make sure your knife's sharp.
Make sure your knife's sharp. Make sure you know where it's pointed. You know, like, it's just...
And just tuck your fingers behind a bit.
Oh, yeah. But he was saying even that. Like, just hold it in a way that it's secure and make sure that you're not going to cut your fingers. Yeah. And that's all you have to do. And I was like, that's kind of, I think, what you're saying is just do it for the sake of that.
Oh, yeah. Just for your own fucking pleasure. Like, I cook for my own pleasure. I bake for my own pleasure. I like to do it. It's fun for me. I'm not like... Yeah. I'm not obsessed and call myself a foodie and like, ooh, you know, anyway, it just, oh, fuck Tyler. God damn it. Also the name Tyler. Perfect. Fuck. Every time I say the name Tyler, I'm like, Tyler.
We all have that name, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like someone was mean to us when we were like five and we're like, well, I'm going to paint all Tylers this way or all BJs.
It's kind of crazy when you watch a movie where a guy murders everyone and he's not your least favorite character.
Yeah, Tyler is by far my least favorite.
Oh, Tyler.
Yeah. Margot definitely comes around on me. I like Margot by the end. I'm like, you probably shouldn't wipe your mouth with the menu because that's evidence, but whatever. She's eating the cheeseburger at the end.
No, I love
that.
Just
a plain fucking cheeseburger. Not just some disassembled thing. No. Just a really good cheeseburger.
When she he wipes her, I love the wipe with the menu. I love that. Just the absolute disrespect.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck.
It's my favorite.
Okay, so a little bit of a off topic here, but my favorite line in this movie,
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with the movie itself.
Okay.
Where she says, this is right when she's about to say that, can I get it to go? And she looks Ralph Fiennes right in the eyes, and Anna Taylor-Joy, let me just reemphasize that, is the actress saying this line where she goes, I think my eyes are a little bigger than my stomach, and I don't know how you can be in a scene with Anna Taylor-Joy where she says her eyes are bigger than her stomach and not break out laughing. This is no criticism. She is a stunning woman, very beautiful. She got real big eyes.
Yeah.
She got real
this
big eyes.
This is the first case. This was factual. This was entirely factual. We do believe that your eyes are physically bigger than your stomach.
You are a small woman with huge eyes. I always like to say Anna Taylor-Joy is the answer to what if Emma Stone had slightly bigger eyes, slightly further apart. And again, a stunner, an absolutely beautiful woman. In no way am I criticizing her looks. She's got big eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same way you can't stare at Ralph Fiennes too long without his nose disappearing. I don't know if that happened.
I don't know who that is.
Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah.
The chef.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Also played Voldemort he played Voldemort.
All right, there you go.
Without the nose.
I'm like, who is that? He's fucking in this movie, Rebecca. Wake the fuck up. Good.
Also,
Lord.
Fairly famous actor. Fairly
no,
famous
actor.
No,
I just, like, as soon as you say, like, because it's just, like, I normally have, like, I have my iPad open in front of me most of the time with, like, a little list of people because I'm like, I don't know who the fuck anybody is.
Yeah.
And it had turned off, and I was like, well, that's a new name to me, even though you said it 5 minutes ago.
It's fine. I've forgotten names on this podcast before. Was there anybody we didn't cover? I mean, Elsa, fucking badass. She gets stabbed by Margot. It kind of sucks for her.
But that makes sense. I mean, you come
asshole.
At somebody with a knife. If you die by that knife, like, that is, I believe that's on you, man.
That's legit.
Yeah.
The other great moment in this is when they serve the critics. the broken emulsion. She makes that one comment. It's like, well, you wouldn't have that in a restaurant of this quality. And they just keep bringing her plates and plates.
The bigger and bigger bowls of it.
Oh, love it.
It's fucking awesome.
A good movie, is what
it is. It honestly is a really solid movie. Villain, not right, but super satisfying.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
A very satisfying villain.
Villains all the way through. We love to see it. And now I think it's probably time for our definitive rankings of how good the villain is. I've got just the dinner scale, or the courses scale, I guess is what we should call it. So on a scale from appetizer to dessert, I'm ranking Chef Slowik, and I'm going to rate him an amuse-bouche, because there's not much to sink your teeth into, but my bouche was amused nonetheless.
Oh, no.
Sorry. So I have to give credit. This is this is an inside joke. This is Kat and I do this all the time. Where, like, if I'm cooking dinner, I will, like, cut up just a slice of cheese and hand her something. I'd be like, here's your amuse-bouche. And she will just respond with, my bouche is amused. Like, it's so, like, the whole time I was doing this, I could only think of that. So I'm sorry if that sounds lame or
no,
whatever.
I love it. That's honest.
My bouche is a moose.
That's so cute. No, that's mad cute. I like that. I used to work at restaurants, so mine is restaurant terminology. So, and I am also ranking the chef. From behind to behind.
Yeah.
An essential all the way to screaming fuck in the fridge, which is something we all do, I am going to I'm going to give Chef an 86 because that's what he does to himself and everyone around him.
Is 86 a kitchen term?
Yeah, you're like, if you 86 something, it means it's not on the menu anymore. I'm not sure why it's 86. It's just like, yeah, okay. If you're like, 86 the cheeseburgers tonight, you're like, okay, but there's no cheese in the house or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So there you go.
A funny podcast, and I learned things.
Woo! Guys.
But yes, guys, we'll get to our heroes and villains of a week in a second, but first, a couple ways that you can support the podcast. First of all, if you want to get in touch with us, we're on all the social medias. Oh my God, all of them. VWR Podcast on Twitter. If you're on Facebook, look up The Villain Was Right. We also recently got Instagram, Villain Was Right on Instagram, and we are on TikTok, where you can see a couple little short clips of episodes you can share with your friends and all the rest. So that is The Villain Was Right on TikTok as well. And lots of you wrote in for this movie. Quite a few.
You
and,
sick fucks. Yeah. I love it.
And if you want us to cover a movie, if you have a request, our email inbox is open. villainwasright@gmail.com for requests. And we're a little backlog, but we read them, we get to them, we put them on a list, and we'd love to hear your suggestions.
And guys, as always, we have Patreon. If you have a couple of bucks that you would like to throw us, we have our top tier is 2 bonus episodes a month. And if you've never joined us before, if you join us now, you get the whole backlog of all of these episodes. There's, I don't know.
Over 60.
There we go.
Maybe 80?
We don't know.
So many.
What is time? I don't know what's going on anymore. So we have 2 bonus episodes every single month. Craig has a pick. I have a pick where the villain is not necessarily right. We have ad-free tier. We've got audience choice. You know, guys, you're our top fans. If you're already on with us with Patreon, thank you so much for your continued support. Patreon.com/villainwasright. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I have a villain. I got a villain. So this actually, just this idea of like, respect my art and perfection, whatever. So last weekend I was doing a gig at a golf course, and it was a pretty nice, like, it was a really nice gig. They put us up, like, the food was great, like, all the staff was amazing. But the first night, we were there Friday, Saturday. The first night was a particularly, I would say, a tough crowd, right? One of those crowds where you get off and then you talk to the other comedians afterwards and you're like, I hope it was hard for you too. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I hope for you to succeed, but if you come off and you tell me they were tough, that would make me feel better. That's what I'm trying to describe here, right? Anyway, and I'm doing my utmost best. I'm hosting. I am really trying to get these people whipped up. And I am like, I'm throwing out my, like, some, I'm pulling stuff out of the vault. I was like, this borderline gets an applause break every time I do it, and I'm getting titters. I'm like, fucking hell, dude. But I'm getting them whipped, or at least decently in the zone a bit. I bring up the opening act, and then I get back on stage, and is there not a man full ass asleep in the front row? Full ass, like, just fully fucking conked, dude. I shouldn't say asleep. I should say passed out. The term I am looking for is passed out, right? And this guy kind of wakes up for a second and he says, he's like, I don't know why that's funny. And I was like, what? And then he just fell back asleep. And I was like, okay. So I just, like, whatever. I let it ride because I was like, I had to bring up the headliner. And I thought, I don't know if... He wasn't making a lot of noise or anything. I was like, maybe this would probably be more disruptive if I called attention to this right now, right?
Sure.
I got to bring this guy up, like, right away. So I bring the headliner up, and of course, he just has an absolute fuck. I've got most of it on tape. He just had a field day with this guy, right? And he keeps waking up and then passing out and then waking up and passing out. And apparently this guy comes here all the time to this golf course and just, it gets obliterated. Okay, just obliterated. And I was like, oh, that was so weird. And then he came, kind of like, what? I was like, well, that guy's going home, clearly. No. So after this show, they have a band that night, like right after, and because we're not going home, we're staying here this night, tonight, and whatever. So we go downstairs. This guy has switched on to full party mode. Like I have never seen. Powered by what I can only assume is cocaine. Okay, you have to. Like, this guy was like 65, but you have to have been on cocaine if you rally in that fashion. He kept walking up to all of us being like, oh, you guys were all so funny. And the headliner kept going, how do you know, bro?
You were
how
funny.
Do you know? Anyway, I get just all this to say, I've never, ever in my life seen somebody fall asleep or pass out on a show before. And it was really, really something to behold, I got to tell you. And then he regaled me of tales of going to Europe and all. You couldn't stop talking to me afterwards. I was like, buddy, like I don't like you.
You ruined my show.
Anyway, that's it. That's mine. That's my villain.
I obviously also have a performance-inspired story today, yeah. Also about a comedy club. So this was, because this movie's about art. So I was at a comedy club a couple weeks ago, and show's over. You know, everyone had a good time and everything. I was headlining the show. And, we're just kind of like hanging around after we're like, waiting to get paid and everything like that. Yeah. And so like, the wait staff are clearing tables. Like, I don't know what you call those big trays you put the dirty glasses in.
Oh, the bus
like,
bins.
The bus bins. She's got a huge bus bin. And this one waitress is, kind of walking by and she goes like, oh, good job tonight. Good set. I was like, oh, thank you. And like, I don't put too much weight on that because, we made eye contact and, you say, and it's probably just a polite thing that you say to everyone. And she goes like, no, I mean it. You were really good. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. She goes, yeah, like you were like a clean, you were clean. Like you didn't really swear or anything too much. And I was like, yeah, that's Craig Faye. Right.
That's my brand.
And she's, and she's like, oh my God, it was honestly so great. Thank you so much. Cause like, and this is like petite college girl again, arms full of like the this bus bin filled with glasses, just standing there holding this as she's talking, and she goes, because every other comic I've seen is like, oh, so this girl's sucking my dick.
Yeah,
this girl's like sucking my, and she's doing the voice. Be like, oh, this girl was sucking my dick. And she's like, that's all it is. And you didn't have any of that. I was like, no. I'm like, do you want to put that tray down? And she's like, I've never seen that before. And I was like, you work at a comedy club and you have never seen a comic who works clean? And I was just like, that blows my mind. How is that even possible? I don't know. It's just, anyway, but she's kind of my hero of the week just for sitting there with her bust bin, just being like, oh, these girls are all so funny.
And that, my friends, is why I talk about my pussy. Because everybody's talking about getting their dick sucked.
So it's just really fun for me. But that's my story.
Awesome, guys. Well, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Fick Comedy on Facebook and Twitter. As well as you can check out craigfaye.com for show dates. And that's it, craigfaye.com for show dates. I've got nothing coming up. I was looking at the calendar there. But guys, stay tuned for next week. We don't have an episode lined up yet, but we know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a fun one for sure. And until next time, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to tip your waitstaff.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.